Thank you, Steve, and happy Sabbath to everyone. It's great to see all of you. And, you know, I got a nice fan up here. It's actually cooler here. I might stay here a little longer. I'd like to say hello to all those on the webcast as well up in Sholo in Hawaii and everyone else and any other guests that we may have not been able to say your name. Welcome as well. It's good to see Shane here again as well. And Mickey Bailey, we've been talking email for a long time, and it's good to see you again, and sorry about your back. She said she's feeling a little better today, so she's with us. You know, I did talk to Fred Crow and said, you know, I sort of was leaning about saying if he wanted to give the sermon, but he said, I snuck in here, and I said, yeah, I haven't spoken in 3 weeks. I said, let's keep handing off my responsibility to someone else, but it's good to see you, and again, please pass your greetings on to Sue and the brethren back there as well. Can you see light and darkness? Those who are blind cannot see the light. Obviously, I think we understand that and know that. But currently, there is a spiritual light that is happening in some people's lives right now. I think we understand that. We know that. Let's turn over here to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I have a number of scriptures today, so I'll do. And I actually, in most cases, I did not print out my scriptures, so I am giving you the time to turn in your Bibles if you would so like. But here in John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus Christ says, I have come as a light into the world. So he says, I'm coming as a light into darkness. Whoever believes in me should not remain in darkness. So he's saying, you're all in darkness. I'm coming into the world as light for you not to remain in darkness. This strong light that Jesus Christ is talking about is in a person. It's embodied in an individual. For them to be able to understand light and darkness, those who have the light, those who have the understanding, are able to understand being both. They're able to contrast the difference of light in darkness. And here, back up to verse 35, it says, those who have this light are not to abide in darkness. Verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Talking about Jesus Christ, his crucifixion had not happened yet. He was right there with them. Walk while you have the light. Walk this way, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, verse 36, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. Become sons of the light. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be walking in the light, to be coming out of darkness. And I appreciated the sermonette. Mr. Fenwick and I did not talk before the message. Mr. Tuck and I did not talk regarding our letters this week. And it is Jesus Christ does not want us to abide in darkness. Don't have any association with it whatsoever. Be on fire to live God's way of life. That's what he expects. That's what he expects, to live his way of life, to come out of darkness. And part of that process is asking God to help us to come out of the darkness, to show us what darkness is. Because Jesus Christ is the light. And he says, all who come to me, who believe on me, who put my words into practice, will not be of the darkness. So you and I are to be light. We're to be of God's ways. And we're to be connected to the greater light, Jesus Christ, to hear his words, to hear the message. And we're called to be children of that light. So what is light to you and me? All right? What is light to you and me? Let's turn over here. We're in John. Let's go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 8 and read verse 12. And he's talking, you know, here to individuals, but John 8 verse 12. What is light to you and me? That's my question. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the light amongst all this darkness. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light is life. Darkness is death. And here's talking about, he's the light of the world. He's the light of this physical cosmos, the world. He's the light. There's a condition. There's a condition that there's a reason for the light to come. God wants to give eternal life to those, to all mankind who are in darkness. He wants to be that light of life, to hear those words and to put them into practice. And Satan is so cunning, as we heard in the first message, to get us off track. Not just the world out there, but also in here, as we'll see more, because Satan is all about darkness. God doesn't want us to have any association with darkness. Let's go to the first chapter of John. John chapter 1. Jesus Christ was in the beginning. Let's read the first five verses here. And all things were created through him. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word we know is Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. He's willing to sacrifice his life to show us the way. To be like him, to be light. And then verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. But guess what? The darkness did not comprehend the light. Let's go back to the creation account. And let's look at this. Mr. Fenwick touched on this. Genesis chapter 1. Yes, God created the heavens, the earth. In verse 1, everything was good. He read in Job chapter 38 that all the angels shouted for joy when the physical creation was created. But then we see verse 2, where how many years have passed? Tens of thousands, millions, many, right? Because then what happens? Satan is cast to the earth. In verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. In other words, it became without form and void because what he read in Ezekiel 28 of Satan's mindset, wanting to be different than following God, didn't want to be a part of life. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. It says, darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So here we see darkness. Not just darkness, but Satan was on the face of the deep. And here we see, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Yes, Satan is on the earth, but God is in control. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God commanded Jesus Christ to come to this earth. He is also light. So we have this physical and spiritual, the parallel. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So he divided it, separated it. And God called the light day, capital D. And the darkness he called night, capital N. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And he separated the two. He divided light from darkness, and he called the day light and the night dark. And darkness night. So we have this situation when we look at darkness and we look at light. We should also be able to parallel that with the spiritual. Because with good and evil, there's no blending of good and evil. Just like God says, hey, there's sunset, sunrise. And we can keep your finger here, but I want to turn over to and refer to what Paul says about this over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll read one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I mean, your relationships, you know. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Have a separation. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion or sharing or participation of any kind has light with darkness? God and Satan, there's nothing that blends. It's total separation. Total separation. And he talks about what communion or sharing or participation has light with darkness. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. And so we have to look at that in our lives. Are we allowing darkness in our lives? Are we allowing it to continue? In most cases, we can see it. And we're not going to be able to grow if we don't get rid of the darkness. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for the days and the years. And let them be for lights in the firmament for the heavens to give light on the earth. So we see this physical part that it plays in. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, and he had made two great lights, but the greater light to rule the day. Who's the greater light? God is the greater light. And the lesser light to rule the night. So Satan, see, here we see two type of rulerships, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and we have Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world, but he's the lesser. He's the lesser, but he still pushes his ways on people, his dark ways. He also made the stars and set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. It was good that there was a greater light to contrast darkness. God said it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So we see in Scripture that sometimes these stars, these fallen stars, are referred to as demons. We see that in Jude. We also see it in 2 Peter, where this darkness refers to the falling stars. So there's a battle. There's a battle going on. A battle in our minds from Satan wanting us to be of the darkness. God the Father wanting us to be of the light. And so we have light and darkness. And we should be able to comprehend the light from the darkness. We should know what light is. We also should know what darkness is. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now you look in the, the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Hebrew word for light is phos. F-O-C-E. Phos. And it means light. And in most cases it's talking about to rule over the day and the night. It's talking about a light to be able to rule over the day and the night. You and I are to be able to rule over the day and the night because we have the light shining in us. Here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness," which is Jesus Christ, "who has shown it in our minds," our hearts, "to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So we are to be able to understand this light. God commanded the light. He commanded Jesus Christ to shine in darkness and for us to battle, to stay in that light. And it's not easy. It's not easy for us to do that. We can't do it on our own. And Jesus Christ has a purpose for us. Look over here in Luke chapter 1, as we battle and we fight and strive to learn, to grow, to overcome our nature, the lusts of the flesh. Here we see in Luke chapter 1, let's read verses 78 and 79. "Through the tender mercy of our God." So God is very tender and merciful. "With which the day spring from on high has visited us." That he was willing to sacrifice his son so that we could receive the gift of eternal life. To be able to know his ways and to come out of darkness. In verse 79, "to give light to those who sit in darkness." Brethren, do we really get it? Do we really want to see the light? It says, "in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now we can have struggles in our lives. There's no doubt about that. We have to persevere and we learn and we grow and build godly character. But we don't have to do that by hanging on to darkness, doing things that we think might benefit us but actually hurt others is a part of darkness. The light gives us instructions. I'm not going to turn over there, but we know that Jesus Christ gave Moses instructions in coming out of darkness. Exodus 10, I have 21 and 24. "One of the plagues in Egypt was darkness, for the darkness could even be felt," it says in Scripture. It was so dark, you could feel the darkness. Do you ever have that in your lives where it's like there's just something going on? Satan's pushing, his demons are there, and you can feel it? The darkness? Where you just become anxious, and you're stressing, and you know he's there, and you need to battle him. Evil thoughts come to the mind. You can feel it. You can feel the darkness. So dark sometimes, where Satan is there and pushing at us that he doesn't want us to see one another. And that plague, it's like it was so dark they couldn't even see someone. Put your hand, it's like you can't even see. And God was calling people to come out of darkness. Satan's way of life. Egypt left in the dark. They left Egypt in the dark. They came out of darkness. And then we see that as they're working their way to the promised land, what does God do? He leads them by a fire at night, light. And then during the day, hot, sunny, he gives them a cloud. And they follow the cloud. They follow the light. Turn to Leviticus chapter 24. Jesus Christ is the light. And here we see the contrast in the first few verses here. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1. Starting verse 1 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying," verse 2, "command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light." Pure pressed olive oil for the light, "to make the lamps burn continually." Verse 3, "outside the veil of the testimony of the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually." And we know that this parallels to Jesus Christ. He's the high priest. And under the new covenant, we have individuals who have that pure oil, God's Holy Spirit, in them. And Jesus Christ is the light, and we are to follow and be that light. All humans have been in darkness. We've all been in darkness from the time that we've been born. Once God has called us, helped us to see, he's worked with us through that Holy Spirit, we've made a commitment to come out of darkness, to walk in the light, and receive his Holy Spirit to help us to follow that light. We've all been, hopefully those that are baptized for the right reasons, are in that situation, and are really striving to be on track to becoming out of darkness. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 regarding, since we were once in darkness, as I'm laying this foundation here. Because it's more than just understanding light and darkness. We're going to look at some practical application here in just a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. That's what we were called to. Walk as children of light and get rid of all the darkness. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It's for you and me to find out what is acceptable. Some of the things that we do in our lives, we may think that are acceptable, but they're not. But we're required to find out. And verse 11, "have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." It's talking about us individually. Have no fruits of the darkness, but expose those fruits with the Holy Spirit. expose them and get rid of them with God's help. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Jesus Christ shows us that. Ask God to help us to see the darkness. Whatever darkness is in me, and I'm not going to say if I have any darkness, because there's darkness in me, and I want to get rid of it. I see a lot of darkness in me already that I'm already battling and fighting. But what other darkness might I have? Not might have, that I don't see. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Be fully committed. God wants us to be fully committed. He wants us to proclaim the light. Let's turn over here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. He wants us to proclaim him. And how can we proclaim Jesus Christ if we're not living the light? Right? We can definitely do a work. We can preach. We can tell the world what they're doing is wrong. But what about you and me? 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 9. Says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So the godly are tempted. God says, lead us not into temptation, right? In the model prayer. Help us to not make wrong choices when we know the right choice. Remember Pharaoh did that? I'm not going to let you go. And what did God do? He hardened his heart even more. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So there is a time for judgment. He knows how to separate the two types. And we're to proclaim the light by how we live, because the light is living in us. In verse 10, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Right? God doesn't want us speaking evil of anyone. But we're to be of the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Those who do not have the light, they're blinded, as it tells us. Without the light, without God showing us the way, we cannot see darkness. We can understand some basics, but we cannot see true darkness. In Matthew chapter 13, do we see the light as a blessing, or do we sort of like to hang on to the darkness? Our nature, Satan's influence, is he wants us to hang on to darkness. So the question for you and I is, do we want to see the light? Do we want to get rid of all the darkness? God expects us to be of the light and to get rid of all the darkness. And what does he say here in Matthew chapter 13? Is that a blessing? Do we trust God? He made you from actually nothing, and then he created the earth, and there was dirt, and then he created us. Chapter 13, verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. That's what he says. And your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. God has given us a blessing. Brethren, it's a blessing to come out of darkness. That darkness so dark That if we are in that, we don't battle it, we feel it. It's there. Satan wants to pounce on us. He doesn't want us to be of the light. And if we hang on to any of the darkness, and we know that we need to be coming out of it, and we don't, we are of the darkness, we're not of the light. Do we have a hard time seeing? Oh, Bob Fenwick mentioned that a couple of times. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3. So where half of my letter was yesterday. What is God, what is Jesus Christ telling his people? Those that are still connected to the darkness. I think when we were baptized, we were so excited. We wanted to come out of the darkness. Mr. Tuck talked about that in his letter. We wanted to come out. That was our first love. We hated evil. We were so, God showed us more light. Wow. And we were so on fire to follow that light to come out of darkness. And Mr. Tuck talked about what sets in. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. I counsel you to be in the fire, to be purified, to let me just get all the impurities out, get all that darkness out. He says, I counsel you to do this. Do you think it's important if Jesus Christ, God the Father, is telling us to do this? Apathy. I'm just, I sort of hear it, but no, we need to listen. Who knows? I mean, not a predictor of when Christ is going to return. No one knows when he's going to return. But when you see the fig tree, when you see those buds on the fig tree, you know that time is nigh. You know, we're getting close to the end of the age. There's not much time left. We see all the prophecies coming into play of how the East is coming together, you know, and all these alliances. Now God can slow it down, but what if he doesn't? We see it being fulfilled right before our eyes. I counsel you, are we going to be ready? Are we still going to be in the darkness? To buy from me, buy this from me, gold refined in the fire to get rid of all the darkness, all the impurities, that you may be rich and have white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed before God and Judgment Day. We've gotten rid of it all with his help. We want to see our sins. We want to get rid of all the evil. We want to put on righteousness. We want a better relationship with God the Father and one another. We want our sins forgiven. I want your sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Instead of picking at you, what Satan so easily does with us, influencing, anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see spiritually, that you may see. Because as many as I love, and God loves you, I rebuke and I will chasten. I want you to see it. And sometimes a lot of times we have these trials in our lives. Why am I having this going on? What is that going on? And you look at it, and it's a lot to have to do with relationships. Why do I have this problem? Why do I have that problem? It's about relationships. The problems that we have are relationships. Relationship with our employer, relationship with this. It's just the things go on, and then things start happening in our lives because the relationship isn't right with the Father. It isn't right with each other. We'll look at that here in just a minute in James. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Be zealous. Jesus Christ was zealous. I want to get these people out of my Father's house. They're pointing people to the wrong way. And he drove them out. He was zealous to be able to teach the word of God, for people to hear it. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door and wants to hear, I will come to him and dine with him, have a relationship, and he with me, and you with him. To him who overcomes darkness, Satan, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Satan overcame that rulership. Satan wanted Jesus Christ to follow him, to be under his rule, and Jesus Christ said, "No. No, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to be a part of any of your darkness. I'm a light shining in this dark world, and I have a commission." We need the light. Here in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's just before Revelation, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, make sure. "And so we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as the light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts," in our mind. We're going to battle Satan. What are we of? Who are we of? We ask that. We can ask ourselves, what are we still hanging on to that we need to get rid of? This cosmos, this world, what are we still hanging on to? I'm surprised that how many people still vote. It's like, what are you voting for? Who do you know who God wants in those places? Scripture tells us, he says, "I put people in these places." Mr. Fenwick was reading about Pilate. You wouldn't be in this authority unless God gave it to you. All right? God has a plan. He's working it out. And world leaders, they're in darkness. We don't want to vote for darkness. We don't want to vote for Satan. They're in darkness. They don't have God's Holy Spirit. Satan is using them to do God's plan. And Satan, and God is using Satan for his plan to be worked out in us as well. He expects us to reject his dark ways. Isaiah 59. Those world leaders, those of darkness, anyone of darkness is not going to know peace. Isaiah 59, verse 8. "The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice," or there's no right judgment because it's not based on God's law, "in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace." Do we want to be involved with world leaders and we're not going to know peace? They're of darkness. Verse 9, "Therefore, justice is far from us because we're not listening to God. Nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there's only darkness because we're not obeying God. For brightness, but we walk in blackness." It's important, brethren, not just to be sitting here and doing nothing. We need the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John 11:9, let me just read it to you. There, he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. So when we see the light in this world, we're not going to stumble. We're not going to trip and fall. He parallels that to the spiritual. Look for him. Put him first. Get rid of the darkness and we will not stumble. We're not going to have questions. We're going to know the will of God. He guides our path. Remember, Jesus Christ said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. They see. James chapter 1, practical application. Let's turn over there. What is your state of mind? What is my state of mind? Light gives us direction. Light shows us the difference between light and darkness if we retain that light. If we retain God the Father and Jesus Christ living in us. James chapter 1, starting verse 21, it says, here James is saying, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness. Lay aside all of it. Don't hang on to any of it. Get rid of it all. God, show us this filthiness in us. Help us to be one with you and one with each other. An overflow of wickedness. Help us to get rid of it and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. It will lead us and show us what we need to do. In verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, which would only be deceiving ourselves. So if we're just going to hear the message today, but we're still going to go right back to applying darkness in our life, we're only deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, I want to be liberated from darkness, and continues in this way, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Blessed, because this is what we're striving to be. And verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, anyone here thinks they're religious? Does religious mean just coming to the Sabbath, keeping the holy days? I'm tithing, I don't eat unclean meats. I'm religious. No, it's more than that. It's more than just going to church and observing God's laws. We're to show acts of devotion to God by how we live. So if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, right? Our tongue. And what he's talking about here, our tongue comes from who we are, right? Our tongue shows who we are deep down. If we don't bridle that, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So we can be here today, if we're not putting God's ways into practice, that religion is useless. Our actions is a barometer of how close we are aligned to God. Just ask yourself, what do I do during the week? What do I say during the week? Here he's talking about the tongue. Do we gossip? Gossip is anything that you say about someone, whether it's true or false, but it's not uplifting to them. How easy do things just roll off our lips to say something bad about someone else? We're speaking darkness because we have darkness in us. If we're doing that, when we do that, I think we should catch ourselves when we do it, because that's not being one by chopping other people off at the knees. Here's a metaphor. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. The night. Satan has been around for a long time. And he throws his devices at humanity. It's been a long time of Satan's exposure. And that's, he's amongst us. The day is at hand. Our day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We need help. We need to be putting on righteousness, as it tells us in Ephesians 6:14. Put on that breastplate of righteousness, to want to obey God, to follow his word, and ask, am I doing it? You know what? And don't ignore the Holy Spirit when it shows us that, we're not doing this right, we're not doing that right. Don't ignore it. Jesus Christ says, I pray that you let me give you counsel to help you, to be refined, to be pure, to be of light, to overcome the darkness. Truthfully, not everyone likes the light. Not everyone likes the light. And I hope that's not you. I know sometimes my wife might look at me and says, do you really like the light? I said, I'm trying, honey. Yes, but we need to be making sure that we are making progress and not letting Satan get to us. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is our calling. 1 Peter chapter 2. This was read on Pentecost. You are a chosen generation. Okay, you're chosen. Doesn't mean God needed me. Why did he choose me? Well, he chose you to come out of darkness and to be of the light, give you that first opportunity to be of the light. That's why he called you. Be thankful. You're a chosen generation, not just because I get to be first. I'm keeping his Sabbaths and his laws. No, it's everything. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? It says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're putting it into action. People can see it. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Coming out of darkness, that's mercy. Looking at evil, being a part of evil, God has called us to come out of that. I want you to have right relationships with other people, with me, with your spouse, with each other, as the body of Christ. John chapter 9. I keep hitting on light and darkness, and really want us to focus that they contrast. They're separate. One has nothing to do with the other. You cannot have a little bit of darkness and a lot of light and thinking that you're okay, because you are in darkness. We only deceive ourselves. John chapter 9, verse 5. I am, as long as I'm in the world, Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. And he was there before he was crucified and in the grave 3 days and three nights. But as long as I'm here amongst you, I'm the light. I am the way. I'm showing you. Jesus Christ was willing to give his life for that. Go forward, John 17, verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. This is what he's saying to the Father. I'm here. I've done your will. I was obedient to you. I brought you glory. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He says, I want that relationship. I'll be right back with you. I've done the work, and I did it. I did exactly what you asked me to do. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Jesus Christ going back to the Father, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Brethren, that's what it all comes down to. Having fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Doing their will. Putting that fellowship into our lives, having fellowship with each other. And we're fully committed to God and living that way of life and making those changes in our lives to come out of darkness and to have complete light. If we're striving for that and working towards that and repenting when we sin, then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from our sins and help us. He'll take that death penalty away when we sin. Say, Father, I paid that penalty. I take it away. They're coming before, they're repenting, they're working on that. They don't want anything to be with darkness. They want to be of the light. That's a gift. That's a gift. Matthew chapter 5. What are we? What are we? Sometimes people look at all the way back from worldwide and how we've come together and all the darkness that was involved in the organization. There was light in the organization. The light was the body of Christ. But the world of darkness sees the darkness. They cannot comprehend the light. They look at all the mistakes of individuals that were not of the light. We are to proclaim that light. We are. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. To be different. To not be associated. Who are you voting for? Jesus Christ? What? No, you talk about, hey, who's going to fix these problems? Jesus Christ. Well, why doesn't he come do it now? The darkness does not comprehend the light. But you are the light of the world. They should see it in our actions. We're set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Are you willing to put your character out there to be set on a hill? To let them attack you, to ask you questions? Let God's Holy Spirit answer what needs to be answered? Are we there? Are we that light? Brethren, we need to get rid of the darkness. 1 Thessalonians. We need to really look at it. We know what darkness we have. Question is, do we want to get rid of it? Brethren, if we know and we're not working on it, that's blasphemy against God's Holy Spirit. He's showing us what we need to be doing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Satan is saying, oh, it's too hard to be of the light. No, it's uncomfortable. Well, we had that sermon last week by Mr. Delamater about comfort. What is comfort? Oh, I take the easy way. Well, that's the sin. God gives us comfort. He gives us comfort as we obey him. He's there with us because we're getting rid of the darkness. We want to walk in the light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For then they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Oh, I'm fine. In my life, I'm here, and I'm just waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be in his kingdom. Is that the goal? Or is the goal to overcome so we can receive the gift of eternal life? As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, it's going to happen suddenly. We want to be ready. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief, because it's going to happen quickly. If we are of those when things start happening, when Jesus Christ opens the four seals, it's going to happen quickly. And we also, you know, we live 70 years, we're given give or take. But you are all sons of light, children of light. You're walking in the light. You don't have to worry, you don't have to stress. You don't have to worry about your life. God gives you comfort. If you're worried about your life, then we need to reevaluate our lives and see what is not aligned with God. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. They're sleeping. They're spiritually dead. They do not comprehend the light. But let us watch and be sober. Be spiritually alert. Not like those in the world, the cosmos. We're to come out of it. We're to be separate. We're not to be part of the world in any way. We've read that. All right, so I've gone over. Relationships are important to God. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. But it's very important for us to be focused, making sure we're just not caught unaware of what's going on in our lives. We have a responsibility to make sure that we hold fast to God's ways. Ministry has a responsibility to care and to love for the sheep that God has called. Revelation 22 says, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. This is the future. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night, no darkness. That Satan has been put away, banished, destroyed. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, the physical sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's what God has in store for you. But he expects us to be the light. What is going to happen between now and the four seals and the tribulation? If we are alive and that happens, let's be ready. Let's not be caught unaware. Let's not be afraid. Let's not get to that point where the love of many waxes cold. And we want to hurt each other. We need to be focusing on those relationships now with God and our families, with each other, so the blood of Jesus Christ can keep cleansing us and we can keep moving forward to know what the perfect will of God is. We live among darkness, but we are not to be of the darkness. We're not to be of Satan's ways. We're to be of God's ways. We live in the light. Let the world see that light in you. So protect your relationship with God the Father and be children of light.